Freak. Welcome, foolish mortals, to episode 82 of Feel Good Friday, FGF, episode 82. I'm back, baby, I'm back, don't you worry. I know it's been a while, but I'm back. Now, you may be asking yourself right off the bat, you may be saying, Joe, what was up with that spooky voice that you were just doing, you silly goose? What the heck? Hey, you know what? What the H-E double hockey sticks is going on, buddy? Because that was a spooky voice. You caught me off guard. I got goose pimples now. Huh? Explain yourself, you little fink. So you may be asking yourself that. You also may be touching yourself because that voice is pretty smooth. It's pretty sultry. It's some audible chocolate for your ears. Whatever the case, asking yourself a question or touching yourself, probably the latter. It's Halloween. Now, it's not October 31st right now, but it's October, and October is Halloween. October is my favorite month of the year. The weather isn't that bad. It's that, like, where it's sunny, but also kind of chilly, which is it's a great combo right there. I like a little chill in the air, a little crispness to the air. That's my favorite. Football's in full swing. Teams are starting to let you know who they really are. And let me tell you, people, the Bears kind of fucking suck. But the NFC North is falling apart. The Packers don't look good. The Vikings just lost Justin Jefferson. And with Justin Jefferson, they weren't looking that good either. The Lions do look good, so the Lions might take the North this year. But the Bears finally did win a game. They beat the Washington They beat the Washington Commanders. Boo! Awful name. 40-20 or something like that. So they really dominated. So if the Bears offense shows up, hey, maybe the NFC North is up for grabs, but I don't know. It's a confusing season. Like, I don't think we're beating the Niners. I don't think we're beating the Eagles. I don't think we're beating the Cowboys. You know what I mean? We already showed that we couldn't beat the Buccaneers, who appear to be running the NFC South. Whatever. We'll get to football when we get to football. Right now, though, let's focus on the spooky, people, because it's October. September is basically just October Eve at this point. Like, when September hits, it's fucking spooky season. But now that it's October, full swing, full throttle. Let's go. I'm seeing Halloween decorations everywhere I go. If I'm going to stores, though, I'm actually starting to see more Christmas decorations, which it's like, I get it. But also, Halloween is still like a little under 3 weeks away. Let's pump the brakes a little on the Christmas shit. People are going to buy the Christmas shit. Don't worry. They're going to buy it. Give Halloween the attention it deserves. Give Thanksgiving the attention it deserves. Thanksgiving is a great fucking holiday. Family, friends, football, food. It's great. And the Lions are finally good. The Cowboys are hit or miss this season. I don't know. They got whomped against the Niners. They lost against the Cardinals. So it's possible that they're a hit or miss kind of team. But it should be a great Thanksgiving this year. And then you got Eli Roth coming out with his Thanksgiving horror movie entitled Thanksgiving. It looks fucking great. Yeah. A lot of fun stuff happening. A lot of horror movies coming out. A lot of horror movies came out. I'm going to give you a rapid review at the end of this show. And then I'm going to do another rapid review during my Halloween special. But let's talk about one that just came out recently that I have not seen yet, but I plan on seeing very, very soon. The Exorcist. Believer. It is the new Exorcist film. I believe it is a sequel to the original Exorcist, if I'm, you know, not mistaken. But I could be mistaken. I've been mistaken before. Not getting the greatest reviews. 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It happens. Critics tend not to like horror movies. The audience reviews are a lot different than the critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for The New Exorcist. 23% from the critics. 58% from the audience score. So almost a 40% swing in the difference there. So that's kind of comforting to know that it's that much of a difference. The original, I think 1973 Exorcist, that's when the first one came out. Wild that movie came out in 73, because it still holds up. It's still spooky. It's one of the scariest movies of all time. Still got really unsettling images, unsettling lines. The delivery is so good from everyone. The acting is great. It's a great horror movie, and it should not be slept on. at all. Actually, that's kind of ironic because after you watch it, you may not be able to sleep. Oh, wow. Puns. This guy, he's got them. Anyway, that was 1973. Cut to 2023. Holy shit. 83, 93, 03, 13. 50 years later, The Exorcist Believer comes out. Now, the trailer dropped for this a while ago. I've been pumped for a while. I think that it looks very spooky. It looks very unsettling, just like the original. I'm sure the effects are possibly better, although practical effects in horror movies are sometimes better. There's a whole In Search of Darkness documentary on Shudder. Watch it. It's great. It goes into that a lot. Practical effects versus, you know, CGI and whatnot. Practical effects in horror movies, usually cooler. But if done right, CGI can be awesome. There are a lot of things that don't do it right. I think a lot of superhero movies have taken a hit because they go overboard with the CGI, and it looks like fucking Spy Kids 3. Like, what are you doing? They just came out with a new Spy Kids, by the way. That's crazy. But we'll see. I have not seen it yet. Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, I don't always trust it. Usually I just let myself decide. Like, It Lives Inside was a horror movie I saw recently that hasn't been getting the best reviews. I didn't mind it. I thought it had its moments. But, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes not everyone thinks the same. If everyone thought the same, this world would be really fucking boring. And that's what they want. They all want you to think the same. They want to brainwash you. It's the government, man. Aliens are real. And jet fuel can't melt steel beams. Anyway, The Exorcist Believer, I wanted to talk about it because it's one of the horror movies that I've been looking forward to the most over this calendar year, since I heard that it was coming, since I heard it got, like, confirmed. I've been waiting for it. I've been ready. Trailer, great. They do the great, you know, Tubular Bells theme song throughout the trailer. Like, little snippets at first, just to give you a little, like, oh, there it is. Oh, and then they go full on into it, and it's, like, fucking, it's awesome. However, The Exorcist Believer was supposed to come out on October 13th, 2023. Do the math. That's Friday the 13th in October. Whoa. That's so cool. That's such a good date for a horror movie to be released. And this isn't just some low-budget horror movie. This isn't, not, I'm not saying they're low-budget, but like a movie like Talk to Me or It Lives Inside, where I think they're solid horror movies, but not a lot of people like talk about them the way they have about the new Scream or the new Evil Dead or this new Exorcist or even the new Saw. So this is a big horror movie getting released on a Friday the 13th in October. It was perfect. It was perfect. But you know what they say? Some things, well, they're too good to be true. Word got out that Taylor Swift was releasing her, The Eras movie. The Eras was the name of her tour that she went on this summer. They made a movie out of it, which has been done before. Bands have done it. Artists have done it. On October 13th, 2023. Now, look, I get it. The movie. I get why the movie was made. But why October 13th? Did you need to release your Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie on October 13th? What are we doing here? It's not going to be a horror movie. Although some of those Swifties are pretty spooky. Or at least scary. They're intense. So why'd you go with October 13th? I don't know. I haven't gotten to the bottom of it. I've reached out. DM Taylor herself. She left me on red, if you could believe that. Which is crazy, because I feel like she keeps trying to get into my life. You know, like she released the album earlier this year, and I kind of just, you know, ignored it. And she was like, what? Joe's ignoring my album. That's not going to fly. I'm going to go on the biggest tour ever this summer. And she went on the Eras tour, and everyone was posting about it. Constantly, I see Taylor Swift Eras Tour t-shirts at Trader Joe's all the fucking time. Everyone went to the show, which is crazy because tickets were like thousands of fucking dollars. And it was great. And I'm sure, you know, it was a great show. And then I eventually shook it off. Shook it off it's a little too close to a Taylor Swift reference. So I'm just going to say I blocked it out. And Taylor Swift was like, what? I'm playing at Soldier Field. This is your stomping ground, Joe. This is your home base. and you're just going to ignore me? So then she went ahead and started dating Travis Kelce. She was like, all right, you know what? You're not going to look at my album or listen to my album. You're not going to go to my tour or care about my tour. I'm going to start dating Travis Kelce, and all of the NFL world and social media and everyone who cares about football is going to know that I'm dating Travis Kelce because I'm the biggest fucking thing that's ever happened to the world. That's all the NFL was talking about for a solid 2 weeks, going extremely overboard with it. First game she went to was the Bears against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and the world exploded. People were like, oh my God, it's official. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are dating. This is official. I don't know if it's real. Still might be PR. Some people are like, she doesn't need to do that. Well, you can never have too much fame. Really, you can't. Any press is good press, yada, 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 all that stuff. But seems legit as far as I know. And like the world was entranced. They wanted to see Taylor Swift. The NFL got a whole new audience, millions and millions of new viewers that just wanted to see Taylor Swift. So it was good for the NFL. It was good for Jason Kelce because the Kelce Brothers podcast is really bumping up in the ratings since they started dating. And it's good for any team that plays the Chiefs because Taylor might be there. Anyway, I don't know if her and Travis Kelce are going to last. Taylor Swift's going back out on tour. And then, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, the further you get into the NFL season, the more intense it gets. That is what it is. We'll see, though. I love Travis Kelce, and I honestly love Taylor Swift. She's great. So I hope it works out, but it's long-distance relationships. They're tough. But Taylor, if things don't work out with Travis, feel free to slide back into my DMs, you know, because she hasn't slid into mine before. I'm saying, like, you know, I said slide back in, but I slid into her. It doesn't matter. I'm not a stalker. So NFL, eventually that hype train dies down, and she's like, what can I keep doing to keep getting into Joe's life? And so you know what she does? She fucks with another thing that I love the most in this world, horror movies. And she moves the release date of The Exorcist Believer because the Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie decided to come out on October 13th. And you know what? The Exorcist Believer and Jason Blum said, look what you made me do. Nice. Good. And they moved the release date of The Exorcist. Now, at first, I was infuriated. I was like, what? October 13th was so perfect for a horror movie, especially a horror movie of this caliber. You know? This echelon. And now Taylor Swift's going to come around. Whoops, is that racist? Taylor Swift's going to come around. Taylor Swift comes along and just fucks everything up. She shakes it off. Yeah, that was a stretch. I'm done. And The Exorcist has to move their release date. Taylor Swift literally scared the devil. Because I think the slogan for the original Exorcist was like, a movie that'll scare the devil himself or something like that. Taylor Swift scared off the devil. Got him to move the release date to October 6th, 2023. So I didn't stay mad because they moved the release date up. So now I could literally see Exorcist Believer right now instead of having to wait till this Friday. So I don't mind it. I got over it. So Taylor, back to the drawing board. Keep trying to infiltrate my life. And I'm just going to keep on shaking it off. Damn it, I fucking said it again. All right. That is my Taylor Swift versus The Exorcist little tidbit. Coming up, we have a great interview with Brucker. If you don't remember who that is, he was on last year on my podcast around this time. He's a horror movie aficionado. Great guy, super nice. Took the time to let me interview him and see what was going on in his world recently as far as horror movies go. And he's got some great insight. He's entertaining. He's engaging. He's informative. He's got a great podcast called Autopsy of a Horror Movie. Really fun. It's not just like the same formula, and he doesn't just ramble on like an obnoxious asshole like some people, me. So give that a shot, especially if you're a horror fan. It's great for this time of year. Just walking down the street, maybe taking your dog for a walk, pop in your headphones and listen to that podcast because it's great. He has a very soothing voice that, you know, really goes along with the fall kind of vibes, if you will. And like I said, just a good guy. So definitely give him a follow at least, because he deserves it. He's great at what he does. And this interview was no exception. He's awesome. Brucker. And I think his full name is like Brucker Norse or something, which is a really fucking badass name. So that's also cool. All right. That's coming up right after this spooky intro. Stay with me, boils and ghouls. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 81 of Feel Good Friday. I have a very special guest on, now a recurring guest. This is his second time on. Brucker, a horror aficionado, and it is late September, so what an appropriate time to be on. Brucker, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm very excited to be here, and you're right, we are in the spooky season. It's the best time of year, and I'm very excited to be on.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you that didn't catch the first episode with Brucker, Brucker is a podcast host. He has Autopsy of a Horror Movie. That's the one where that I discovered him on. How's all the podcasting going?
Oh, it's going good. I now have a co-host named Orlean, and she's great. She's very well read, and so it's fun having a co-host with that. And with that, the show has. It hasn't changed, but it's more fun because like we get like every other episode we'll do like some sort of like special topics or something that's not just a movie review. So it'll be like we just did like a debate kind of debate episode. We didn't really debate on it, but it was like is it horror?
Yeah, I saw that Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah. So me, her, and another guest all discussed whether or not Jurassic Park could be considered a horror movie. So we spent like 30 minutes discussing. How can you even try to define genre? Like, what makes movie a genre horror film?
Yeah.
And then kind of using those rules and applying it to Jurassic Park and whether or not it does fit in that. So, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Again, big fan of that podcast, especially around this time of year. Like, you know, when I'm taking my dogs for walks, I put it on, listen to it. It's like, it's very, I don't know. It sets the mood for this season, so I know that much.
Well, thank you.
And I do love that is it horror debate. Obviously, I wasn't on or anything like that, but if I was, I would say something like, I think a movie can have horror aspects, but yeah, then the question is it a horror movie? Yeah, no, I love that. I love that a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, let's get into it. Any horror movies you've seen recently that jump out that, you were really high on, anything like that? I know we've been getting a lot of them, so.
We have been getting a lot of them. To be honest, I haven't watched anything super new recently. Mm-hmm. I have all the Halloween movies on my mind right now, like the franchise, like Michael Myers movies, yeah. Just because... We just recorded a mega episode going over all 13 movies.
Oh, beautiful.
So I have that franchise, like, just a lot on my mind right now because we just got done recording that, like, last week. So I've been kind of, like, I don't want to say stuck, but I've been in Michael Myers land for a while now. So that's been on my mind. But last night... To pivot from it, I did rewatch Hell House LLC.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen that, but I am kind of a found footage apologist. I actually did.
Oh. Hold on.
Work on someone who hasn't seen it before. So like she was like getting freaked out while we're watching it and everything. And I've been, I don't know, I really dig Hell House LLC. I think it's an interesting movie because it like peaks in the middle, but like the third act is kind of I don't want to say weaker, but it definitely peaks in the middle.
Okay, I can dig it. Where do you find that? Is that Shudder or is that
something else? Yeah, that's on Shudder. So there's three of them, and Shudder has a new Hell House movie coming out, I think October 30th, or maybe right on Halloween.
Oh, perfect.
So there's a fourth one coming out called Origins. So I might do a run through the franchise and then watch it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I'll see, but yeah. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to right now. It's coming on Shudder.
Absolutely. Speaking of things coming out again, October, a lot of stuff, a lot of material. The new Exorcist. Are you worried? Are they gonna, mess it up, or are you looking forward to it? What's the thoughts on that?
I'm worried. I like Blumhouse, but and I really, we were just talking about Halloween. I really liked David Gordon Green's Halloween 2018 movie. The other two are questionable. I mean, like there are interesting ideas posed in them, I think. I just don't think it was smart how they went about the trilogy. So we'll see what's like new and exciting that they tried to introduce in the Exorcist movie. I mean, they already are in the trailers. To me, what's new about it is that it's two people, these two little girls that are both possessed. So it's kind of interesting. I'm like wondering how they're gonna like what are they trying to like tap into? Like, are the two families from like two different classes, and like, is it going to be playing off of that, or is it just like, hey, double the possession, double the fun, let's go, baby? Like, is that just
Two
it?
heads are better than one.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Two demons is better than one. Yeah. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, with movie ticket prices, you might as well get two demons, for your money's worth. So we got that coming out, and then later October, Five Nights at Freddy's. I never played the game, but I am absolutely looking forward to this. It looks like a lot of fun. Matthew Lillard in it. Love to see him back in a horror movie. He sounds like he has a cold in the trailer. I don't know if you've, how many times you've watched the trailer or whatever, but it looks nice. It looks like a fun, spooky movie.
It does. You say that you haven't played a video game much. I have played that game, only the first one. I know there's a bunch of Five Nights at Freddy's, like different like variants of that you can play, but I played the first one a few times. I've never like successfully gotten all the way through, but it's a lot of fun. So it's a pretty simple game too in terms of just like the mechanics and the objective and everything. So I'm interested to see how they make like a full-blown movie around this. So it has so much potential for camp, and I love that. They're just like campy like slashers. So I'm excited. I'm probably more excited for this than I am the Exorcist, to be honest. So just because I love the goofy aspect of it. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm lucking out. I got Peacock, so I can watch that. I mean, I do love going to the theater. It is an experience, but again, it's an expensive trip, especially if I'm trying to grab a drink and like some candy or something like that,
Yeah, and it's such a gamble too. I mean, I went to go it, by gamble. I mean, like just like the group of people that happened to be there.
True.
Because I'm like one of those people. I'm like, everybody, shut up! I'm trying to watch the movie, And we went to go see Megan,
Nice.
and that James Wan movie,
Yeah.
and we had to leave halfway through because everybody in the theater was talking. There was like people like having like conversations on their cell phones, like on speaker mode and
Oh, wow.
everything, and just like we were like the odd ones out because everyone else was talking. We're like, all right, this is I can't do this. So we
Yeah.
just got a refund, went home, and actually watched Friday the 13th Part 4 just to
Hey,
like salvage the night.
there you
So
go. Yeah,
it
no.
still ended up being a good night, but
Right.
yeah, so
Yeah, sometimes even when it's not what you expect, it could end up being a good time. But I
yeah.
definitely I understand that. I know I remember seeing Alien Covenant, which was I think people saw the trailer and they were like, "Oh, this is just going to be like another Alien movie." And then it got, there were aspects of that, but there were some deeper parts too, like when Fassbender is talking to his clone or whatever. And I just remember everyone like laughing during these parts that were like supposed to be serious. And I don't mind that, but it was constant and it was obnoxious. And it was like, I even like I was with a my then girlfriend, and the relationship was semi new, so she brought some people. Even the people she brought was like, they were like just right next to me talking, and I, you know, I couldn't say anything because it was like one of my first dates with her, so I wasn't trying to be rude, but there's this whole mess. So yeah, it can be a bad experience, but you know, if you get the right crowd, it's a great experience.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like when people are screaming at the right times, laughing at the right times, and everything. Like I went to see Scream 6, yeah, Scream 6,
yeah,
and had a great crowd for that one. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's such a gamble.
The one that sticks out to me, Paranormal Activity 3. Yeah, this is a throwback. Well, kind of throwback, but I remember seeing it, theater full of people, Friday night, just like typical high school activity, and they're, like you said, they're screaming at the right parts, and then it was like that, like, everyone screams, and then there's, like, the laughter afterwards. That I don't mind, because that's, like, I love that. That's like, oh my god, that scared the shit out of me, like, all right, let me calm down, but, yeah, right. So.
As long as it's all reactions to the movie, that's totally fine, but when people are talking about, you know, BS, you know, whatever, yeah, it's, that's when it gets distracting.
Right, exactly. And then one more coming up was a pet cemetery, a new pet cemetery coming out on Paramount Plus, Bloodlines.
David, interesting.
Yeah, David Duchovny is in it, and I think it's... Oh, there's my kid. And I think it's about... apparently he likes David Duchovny. All right. I think it's about the story of Timmy, like from the first one. I think they're touching on that. So that one could go either way. I don't know, but that's one. I'm a big fan of the Pet Sematary movies, so gonna watch it, but we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you say that was coming on Peacock? Is that what you said?
Paramount Plus, actually.
Oh, Paramount Plus. Okay, yeah, interesting. Yeah. All these different streaming services. I'm still excited for the news that came out over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no date for this yet, but apparently Peacock and A24 are doing a Friday the 13th TV show.
Oh yeah, Crystal Lake, right?
So yeah. So I'm kind of excited about that. And with all the news that's going around right now with Blumhouse shopping the rights for Halloween, it seems that A24 seems to be the front runner, and they want to do like a anthology TV show in the same vein as Season of the Witch. So
oh wow,
we'll see where all this goes.
Interesting. That one I didn't hear about. I heard about Crystal Lake. I didn't hear about the Halloween show. And I know when Halloween Ends came out, everyone that was posting about it, they're like, oh, that's how you're going to end the Halloween franchise? I'm like, it's not done. It's too much of a moneymaker. It's Michael Myers. Like, he's not, if he does go away, it'll be maybe 5 years, maybe 10, you know, whatever. But there's no way you can get rid of... But then again, you know, thought the same about Freddy Krueger. That's been over a decade since the last Nightmare on Elm Street, so we'll see what happens there.
True, very true. Yeah.
And then HBO Max has Welcome to Derry in the works. I know that's going on, so that'll be another cool one. I do like the shows. I like the shows. I'm a big fan of the Chucky TV show as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Surprised me, for sure.
But, yeah. I'm pretty bad when it comes to TV, like TV shows, to be honest. I'm very, which is why I do a movie podcast, but I'm much more into just, you know, like, tell me the story you have in like 100 minutes or less, like, that's what I want. But like, there are a bunch of like mini series, like all like the Mike Flanagan Netflix stuff, like Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I love all that stuff. But again, all that's like kind of contained to one season. So.
Right. Yeah, Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass is one of my favorites.
That was good.
I forgot his name. The guy that played the priest. That was one of the best performances I've seen in horror or anything, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, he was great. And I really enjoyed Midnight Mass. And me, like, I grew up Catholic, so... Dasher just hits a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you did grow up Catholic, and because like they like nailed certain like archetypes of like people like in that community, like especially like kind of like the private school sort of like Catholic school setting,
right.
And it was just kind of like, this is a little too much, but it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you watch the Midnight Club I think that was the most recent thing you
Yes,
did.
I did. I was a little disappointed with that, to be honest.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know if you liked it.
No, I was disappointed. I was underwhelmed. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Fall of the House of Usher is the next one coming out, right? That guy's
Yeah, October
pumping the
12th.
stuff out.
Man, I don't know how Netflix fumbled the ball so hard with him because I mean, he finished, House of Usher and everything, but like they kind of like lost kind of like the rights to him, and now he's gonna be making shows for Amazon Prime, and it's just I feel like Netflix just like makes really bad decisions like this because like they didn't back him. I don't know how you don't just back up like the Brinks truck to that guy, and then like Mindhunter. I don't know if you watched that, but I'm so pissed that we're not gonna get a season three.
I've been recommended that one. I still haven't watched it. I don't know why, but I'm trying to
If you
finish
like,
Succession right now, which I know it isn't horror, but it's a great show.
right now, yeah, no. If you like David Fincher and you like his subject matter being really fucked up, but you'll probably, oh, excuse me, I don't know if you're can't hear me, but yeah, you'll probably like Mindhunter.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've seen the some of the there's like pictures of it that sometimes people will post because of the one, again, the name's escaping me at the moment, but he's the serial killer, big guy with the small glasses. I think he had like the thin mustache. Like everyone's saying that portrayal was amazing.
Ed Kemper.
I think so. Everyone says that was one of the greatest portrayals of a serial killer ever. So definitely piqued my interest there for sure. It's funny that Netflix didn't back up Flanagan considering how much stuff they do green light. And then they're just like, what? You're making like good material. No, thank you. I don't get it. So back to Shudder real quick. I wanted to ask this question because I was a big fan of Behind the Monsters. I thought it was so cool. Each, villain in quotes got their own episode, and then all the movies throughout the franchise of each one, the social media presence and popularity of each, how big each one got, like the numbers, they had all the statistics, all that. It was great. There's no season two yet. By the way, Shudder in general, I love it. I might ask, there's other shows that I'm interested in your opinion on as well on there. But if they made a season two of Behind the Monsters, what slashers would you have on there? I started my list and didn't get too far. I got Pennywise and Ghostface and
Ooh, that's
Leatherface.
good. Okay, we do overlap some. So I saw that they did six episodes, I believe, in season one. And so I have like a list here. You and I did overlap on Ghostface and Leatherface. Actually, for Leatherface, I put the whole Sawyer family
Oh,
from Texas
nice.
Chainsaw Massacre because it was the whole like family. The movie's about family. It's like Fast Five.
It's like Fast Five. Oh, Leatherface is the Rock.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Would Leatherface be the Rock, or would the dad, the father, the cook? I mean, would the cook be the Rock? Could you smell what the Rock is cooking? That's it. Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay, nailed it.
This might be the
I also
first
had.
ever Fast and Furious Texas Chainsaw Massacre crossover talked about right here. This is history, so this is pretty cool.
I don't know how that movie doesn't just print money. Yeah, so two extremely loyal fan bases coming together. So anyway, so we overlapped on Ghostface and Texas Chainsaw. I had Leslie Vernon on here. I don't know if you've seen Behind the Mask, the Rise of Leslie Vernon. Are you familiar with this movie?
I have not. The name Leslie Vernon, I'm trying to put the pieces together right now,
So,
but yeah, do
no,
explain.
you're fine. So this is one of those movies that I am like kind of like semi trying to get obsessed with. I bought the Blu-ray recently, and I plan on getting into like the bonus features and everything. But Behind the Mask, I really recommend if you like slasher checking out that movie if you haven't. It's done in a mockumentary style. So, you know, it's like a documentary found footage style. And so in this movie, characters like Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Leatherface are like actual serial killers. And it's a documentary crew following an aspiring serial killer who wants to become like a slasher serial
Interesting.
killer. And they're following him through his training, how he picks out his final girl, how he sets up his like trap and everything. And it have you seen the cabin in the
Oh
woods?
yeah, definitely.
So it's like this movie crawled so that way the cabin in the woods can sprint or walk, whatever the phrase is. And because like this is meta in a sense that like it's explaining all like the slasher tropes, but through the POV of the killer. And it's pretty good. I really enjoy it. I recommend checking that out. So I have Leslie Vernon as like a slasher villain to include in this because the character is so interesting to me.
That sounds great, honestly. I definitely gotta check that out.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't see enough people talk about it, so I think it's pretty good. I also have, you know, I don't. I think it could be debated if this guy is a villain. It's not slasher, so forgive me, but Herbert West from Reanimator. Yeah, so I feel like a deep dive into Herbert West, a character. The two. I think there's two movies.
I know they did. I know
So
for sure they did Bride of Reanimator.
yeah,
I think there was
yeah.
another one after that, but yeah.
So yeah, I think Herbert West would be like a fascinating character to do on that. I also have the Invisible Man from like the original like Claude Rains and all the iterations of it, because they did like six or seven sequels of the Invisible Man from the 30s. And we also had the Louis Whannell remake that came out in like 2019.
Oh yeah.
So
Enjoyed that
yeah,
one
so
for
I
sure.
think me too, that was really good. I also have I have like three more that are all kind of I think they're interesting, but they kind of break some rules in like terms of like slasher villains. So I have Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Nice. I like it.
So you know the whole mechanic shark, how they tried to get it to work and they couldn't and everything, and just like what the shark represents, I think it's interesting. It'll be probably a short episode, maybe, I don't know. And then I also have my two last ones are the Overlook Hotel itself, because like I know it's haunted and there's all sorts of ghosts in there. You get, you know, talk about like the bartender and the two twins and everything, but I feel like the hotel is almost like a character to its own, and I feel like that'd be kind of interesting about like all the different parts, because all the different parts of the they have like different stories, but they're all like so inconsistent with each other. So I would take a deep dive into the Overlook Hotel. I think that'd be like a really cool episode. And then my
Awesome.
last one, and this one's challenging because I don't know how you would do it, but I really just need to hear film scholars and experts talk about this. So that way, maybe we could get some like theories about who this person is. But Billy from Black Christmas. Yeah,
Yeah, I would
just
love
because
that.
you never see him. You never see him. Yeah, so I think that I would love a deep dive episode of Behind the Monsters of Billy from Black Christmas, which is also one of my favorite horror movies of all time. So.
Yeah, I remember talking about that last time you were on, and obviously after that, got inspired to rewatch it. It really is so creepy, like the phone call at the beginning, and the first girl that he kills just in the attic the whole time, like she never leaves, and you keeps flashing back to her, like just in the rocking chair. It's so, it's skin crawling stuff right there.
Yes. Oh, hey, yeah. You almost quoted the tagline. Yeah. It was like if this movie doesn't scare you, your skin's on too tight or something like that, or your skin doesn't crawl from watching this, your skin's on too tight. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't. That was not intentional. I promise.
Oh no! Give yourself some credit. You knew what you were doing. I'm just kidding.
well, I like your list. I especially like the Bruce one. Definitely gonna check out Behind the Mask because that sounds great. I had, like I said, Pennywise. I think has gotten big enough to the point where maybe if they didn't remake it, whatever. But with the remakes taking off the way they did, and now with the show coming out, I think he, you know, that could get one. Ghostface, Leatherface. I was possibly thinking the Fisherman from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I almost put him on the list, yeah. But you know, it would be interesting in the sense, like, even if the episode's anticlimactic, if they're like, maybe he doesn't deserve to be on this list, you know? Like, it would still be interesting to hear them talk about him.
Right. Because, yeah, that's another franchise that obviously didn't make it as much as the other ones did, but still fun. You know, Jack Black in the second one with his stupid dreadlocks.
he's the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought maybe, and again, this one, horror fans are going to be, it's going to be polarizing, because I think horror fans, Rob Zombie, like, it's love him or hate him, but like the Firefly family, just kind of like how the Sawyer family, but, you know, something like that. And then I'm thinking about if they did the Sawyer family and then they got to the Texas Chainsaw 3D movie and just how awful that was, in my opinion. Like, just that one line, the do your thing, cuz that killed me.
Right, yeah, no. But with the two families that you just mentioned, though, we now need a, like, dark comedy crossover that's, like, the two families getting together.
Yeah.
Like, the Sawyer family and the Firefly
family.
And it's like a family reunion. It's like one of those, like, family reunion, like picnic competition jamboree kind of things. Like, you have, like, the three-legged race and, like, bobbing for apples, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But just seeing the... Just, basically, I want to see them compete based on athletic ability for some reason.
I would love that.
Contest,
yeah, you know?
Yeah.
No, I would love that. Damn, I actually just... I forgot the Sid Haig or Sid Haig. Actually, I'm not sure why I can't pronounce that correctly right now. Whatever way it is. Captain Spaulding. That's one I feel like that's an irreplaceable one. But damn it, that would have been a great idea. A crossover like that? Something to...
Just see who can gross each other out the most.
Something something lighthearted too, almost like a wedding, like Sherry Moon marries Leatherface, and then the families get together. That'd be fun. I don't know.
Or is it like that movie Death at a Funeral, and they're all getting together for like a mutual friends? Shenanigans happen at the funeral.
I could dig that too. Potential, so much potential right there. They gotta collab on that for sure. And then so to continue the list, I also had, these are, you know, again, probably not gonna work out, but maybe. Leprechaun. You can judge me on that one.
You gotta include Leprechaun.
The guy went to space. He went to the hood, and not everyone's done that. So you know.
Oh my goodness! I love how you built up to the hood in your rankings there. He went to space, but he also went to the hood. Yeah. Like, let's not forget that.
Well, he did the hood twice. So I mean, you know, that's why that one. But so Leprechaun. Victor Crowley, Hatchet.
Oh, why am I? What was that?
From Hatchet, the.
Okay.
Again,
don't think I've seen this one.
Yeah, that was one of my. It's kind of like over the top violence, I don't know. It's pretty funny, I guess. There are a lot of funny scenes in it, just funny lines and. I don't know. It's worth a watch if you, if you get to. I know right now it's all Halloween, but, you know, really Halloween stuff. But
love it. Look at us exchanging recommendations.
I know. This is great. I love it. And then last one was, and again, this one might break the rules, kind of like, you know, some of yours were doing. The Dead from Evil Dead, like the Deadites and all that. Something
that's
like
a good one. You I know, like that.
I don't know. I don't know how they would do it, but I just feel like that franchise is just so huge now, and I don't know. We'll see.
Definitely.
But yeah, those are.
And it was like how they've like changed in each iteration, and you had that Evil Dead remake in 2011. I
Oh,
don't remember
13,
when that one
2013,
came
yeah.
out, but 2013, thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it'd be kind of cool to for them to kind of like explore that.
Yeah, definitely. Did you, speaking of Evil Dead, did you see Evil Dead Rise?
It's on my list. I've been
Gotcha.
really anxious to watch that one, and just having I'm terrible with new movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you just heard me recommend The Invisible Man from 1933. So yeah, I gotta.
Yeah, I got you.
But it's on my list. Have you seen it?
I have. I have. That was one I really enjoyed. Really enjoyed. I kind of like how it was different. Like, it wasn't a cabin in the woods. It was just a high rise. Well, not high rise. It's not a high rise. It's a very crappy apartment. But I don't know. It's just a cool setting. And then the performances are all really great. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it looked really rad. It's been on my list to check out.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to do a couple, just a couple quick questions. We got about 8 minutes or so left, a little under 8 minutes. For your podcast, Autopsy of a Horror Movie, if you could like get any guest on the show to either, review a horror movie or do a kill grade with you, or whether one of the new ones, like, is it horror? Who do you think, who would be your white whale? Like, what's your guest go to?
Oh man,
And
that's
it could be
such
living
a
or
good
dead,
question.
like, just because this is
Okay.
hypothetical, so.
That's such a good question. Boo, boo, boo. Man, that's tough. I mean, to do movie reviews with, horror reviews with, I'd be like really interested. I mean, like you said, Living or Dead, I would love to have like Wes Craven on, of
Oh,
course,
yeah.
just to like pick his brain, talk about genre, just how. Pretty much how he got into like the nitty-gritty of like his craftsmanship and everything, and how he would like set up scenes and everything. I really appreciate him, and also he created one of my favorite movies ever, Scream. So that would be so cool. Going away from someone that like isn't a director or an actor, I really appreciate all of like the thoughts and the takes from Chelsea Rebecca, who is she's the host of like the Dead Meat podcast.
Okay.
She's I think she's very smart and intelligent, and so I love all of her like deep dives that she does into horror through like horror history, she does a really good job like explaining different tropes and everything. So like she did an episode on Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was just such a like excellent deep dive into like kind of like how it reflected like American history and the just like where we're at with tropes and everything, because like that's sadly someone in the first like Final Girls. So I don't know, I find her to be just like very intelligent, and I would love to like have like a sit down conversation with her about like discussing genre, like is it horror for certain things and stuff like that. So yeah, those I guess those are the two I'll say for right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, no. Yeah, Wes Craven, that'd be incredible. I mean, that guy, it's, him, John Carpenter, George A. Romero, like, legends, absolute legends.
Oh man, another one to throw in there would be like James Whale too, who directed like Frankenstein, Invisible Man, All Dark House. Yeah.
That's actually, back to, not to go back to it, but the Behind the Monsters question, you could do another season of like the Ghostface, Leatherface, Pennywise, all that, Bruce. But then I think they could have like a whole season dedicated to the classic Universal monsters, like episode on the Mummy, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, Dracula, yada yada yada.
Man, that'd just be like catnip to me.
Oh.
I would be all over
It'd be
that.
so cool, right? Like, I love seeing like behind the scenes photos of those old movies too. Like, I actually just saw one of Boris Karloff, and this is, it was from The Grinch. He was reading, narrating The Grinch, and it was just such a cool picture, I love that kind of stuff.
That's so great.
Yeah. Well, Brucker, we got about 4 minutes left. Thank you again for doing this. Before we go, I had one more question. You know, you are about to do a mega Halloween episode, and everyone's entitled to one good scare. What was the first movie that really scared you, that you remember? Like, the first movie you, like, that you watched where you felt, like, you know, that oh shit, you know, feeling right there. What's
Yeah.
what do you remember?
I can actually pinpoint this. So it was the 1999 remake of Haunting of, no, not Haunted Hill House. House on Haunted Hill. The 1999 remake of House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
I watched that when I was 13 or 14, you know, by myself, and that movie really creeped me out as a 13, 14-year-old.
Yeah. No, I could imagine.
That movie really scared me. Yeah, because, and I thought it wasn't going to be scary just because the title is, you know, House on Haunted Hill. That sounds so generic. It sounds so cheesy. I was like, it's probably like a parody.
Yeah.
But no, that movie fucking terrified me as a 13-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I like that. I respect that choice for sure. I think mine was actually 13 Ghosts. I just remember watching that as a kid, and I don't know if my dad thought it wasn't gonna be that scary or something like that. And obviously now you look back at it, it's not awful. Although they're supposed to be doing a show on that now. They're supposed to be doing a origin story of the 13 ghosts, like every ghost is gonna get its own episode. That's what I heard.
Interesting.
I can't confirm, but I just saw it.
So the one that you watched like the remake with Matthew Lillard,
yes.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, sorry.
Dude, that's really, okay, so that's really cool that those are the two movies that we both mentioned, because that was when Dark Castle was like, started its own production company, and the whole idea of Dark Castle was to remake all of the William Castle horror movies, and those two William Castle horror movies, House on Haunted Hill and 13 Ghosts. That's really cool.
I didn't even make that connection. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
The 1-2 punch of those two, they both got us. They both got us.
Yeah, they both got us. Oh, that's great. All right, well, again, a little over a minute. Brucker, thank you so much for doing this. I truly do genuinely appreciate it. I know you got a lot of stuff going on just in life. Life is crazy for everyone. Was there anything you wanted to plug before we sign off here?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure coming on. I really, really appreciate it. I was excited when I saw the message from you. I was like, oh, Joe, how's he doing?
Yeah.
People can check out my show, Autopsy of a Horror Movie, on every podcast platform that you listen, that you use. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at Rucker Horror. And I'm really excited for all the stuff we have coming in October. Come over, listen to our mega Halloween episode. And we also have an episode coming out on Hell House LLC. So really excited for those two.
Perfect. All right. Well, you have a great spooky season. I'm sure I'll be, you know, checking in with you throughout it. So, yeah, thank you again.
Yes, you too. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye. All right, everybody. That was Brucker Horror. Just a great mind right there, and really love tapping into it and seeing what he's thinking. Just all the, you know, there's unique suggestions and all sorts of stuff that I really love hearing from him. You know, there's different types of horror fans, and I think he's actually he's an intellectual, and he knows a lot about a lot. Oh fuck, okay, he knows about a lot of things that people may not be familiar with, like Behind the Mask with Leslie Vernon. Like, I had no idea what that was. Although I do remember the name Leslie Vernon for whatever reason. So I'm definitely going to check out Behind the Mask. And, you know, it's really cool that he was able to take the time and get back on. Spooky season is a busy time for horror heads. So I appreciated that much more. So we'll be right back and wrap this thing up mummy style. And that'll be the old curtain call in episode 82. All right. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, and we're back, episode 82. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Brucker. I personally did. Always a pleasure talking to him and seeing what he's up to. And I'm definitely going to check out that Hell House LLC. I apologize for the connection issues during actually that part of the interview. There was a brief moment where I thought I lost him, and I kind of was doing that little stutter that, should I? And then he came back on. So I apologize for that. Hopefully you got the rest of the interview okay. And hopefully you enjoyed it. Because, again, I know I did. And, again, give him a follow. Check him out on the social media. Check out his podcast, Autopsy of a Horror Film. Apparently he's got his new co-host, and they're doing some fun stuff that is definitely worth a check out, worth a listen, worth a watch, worth a follow, whatever you want to call it. He's awesome. So thank you again, Brucker, for being on. I appreciate it. I am going to wrap up episode 82 mummy style because we are in October, so it is a little bit spookier. So I'm going to wrap it up mummy style, not burrito style. And I'm going to give you a rapid review of some of the horror movies that I've seen recently. Now, again, I'm going to give you another rapid review at the end of this month during the Halloween special. This is just what I've seen lately and things I would like to talk about. I'm going to talk about, first off, the best one I've seen lately, Talk to Me. Talk to Me is an A24 horror film, and everyone I bring it up to, no one really knows about it. Actually, at work, a couple coworkers had wanted to see the new Insidious. At the time, I had already seen the new Insidious. I'll get to it later. And I was like, no, we shouldn't go see that. So there's a little foreshadow to my review of Insidious. Insidious, I think 5 they're on now. That was the latest one, The Red Door. We'll get to it. But so I said, no, we should not go see Insidious. We should go see Talk to Me. And everyone I said that to was like, huh, what's Talk to Me? And then I explained it to them. I showed them a trailer, showed them reviews, and they were all like, oh, shit, all right. And then everyone ended up bailing, and we didn't go see Talk to Me, and it was a bummer. But I ended up seeing it on my own, very spooky, little creepy beat. I was alone in the theater. I was the only one, so that was wild. But Talk to Me was fantastic. I've seen a lot of fun horror movies. I love a fun horror movie. Usually slashers are a lot of fun, which I know that sounds a little fucked up because slashers, a lot of people are dying, body parts going left and right, blood everywhere, a lot of fucked up shit happening. But, you know, they're just movies. They're horror movies. They're supposed to be this exciting, you know, laugh at how crazy whatever Jason does to his victim is, you know, stuff like that. Talk to Me. Not a fun horror movie. Not a lot of fun to be had there. It's very dark, and it starts off dark. There's a stabbing and a suicide within the first 3 minutes of the film. I'm not going to spoil the whole film, but there are several scenes that made me very uneasy, very unsettling scenes, disturbing, whatever you want to call it. And I read a review going into this movie that it's a film that makes you afraid to die. And I've told people that, and everyone's like, that's stupid. Of course I'm afraid to die. Here's the thing. I'm afraid to die for one reason. It's because Finn is here now, and I want to see Finn grow up. I want to see Finn become a man, whatever he ends up doing with his life, whether he does get into sports or he gets into the social media or entertainment, or he just, you know, becomes a blue collar worker, like whatever he does. I want to see him grow up and become a man. And, I can't tell you how excited I am to see him grow up. I also can't tell you how much I'm appreciating his little moments now as a little 2-year-old, you know, because I know it's not going to last forever. There's going to be a time when all these bright fucking toys that make really kind of creepy noises, they're not here. And creepy noises like when, like, I walked down to the basement and one of his toys just went off unprompted, and I pissed a little bit. I had a little bit of pee-pee coming down my shorts, a little bit of dribble, you know what I mean? And I had to, you know, I did the run back upstairs, like when you turn off the light and just fucking, you know, gorilla it up the stairs. Yeah, that's what I did. Anyway, So before Finn, and now obviously, well, before Finn, I wasn't, I didn't want to die. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not suicidal. I love life. I'm very happy with where I'm at. I know I'm very blessed. I have a lot to be happy about. I have a lot to be grateful for. However, I wasn't like afraid to die. You know what I mean? If it happened, it happened. However, now, after seeing this film, and again, no one knows what happens when you die. You got flatliners that tried to explain it. No one can explain it. But this version of the afterlife was particularly fucked up, and I hated it. And I don't want, like, if that's what the afterlife has in store, fuck that. I want to live forever. I want to Walt Disney this shit. I want my body to be frozen so I could just come back later. And, that, like, it's horrifying. And, absolutely one of my favorite horror films of the year, right up there with Evil Dead Rise. It's, that's the one and two right there. So just wanted to say that. But again, there are several horror movies coming out in October. I think maybe even November and December as well, but October for sure. And I still have to see The Exorcist. I still have to watch The Haunted Mansion. It's on Disney Plus. Next up, we will go with The Voyage of the Demeter. I saw this on the same day as Talk to Me. I did a double feature, kicked it old school, bought a ticket for one movie, snuck into another one after I saw the first one. I actually saw The Last Voyage of the Demeter first, and then I snuck into Talk to Me. So Talk to Me was the bonus, which was really cool. Last Voyage of the Demeter, more fun. It's more of a fun one. It's a different take on a classic monster. It's Dracula. And basically, it's this this ship called the Demeter, and it you know, transports cargo to and from lands overseas, and this one batch of cargo has Dracula on board, and you know, the crew doesn't know that at first, and then eventually they find out because he breaks out. He starts off, he kills the animals, and then from there on, he kills more and more of the crew. It's kind of a Descent into Madness type of film. There's a lot of, like, I'm not crazy type of things going on. So, sorry for the beep, by the way. The oven just went off. I'm making Bavarian soft pretzels. Judge me. I don't care. So, you know, a little Descent into Madness. Again, not like slasher fun, but it's a Dracula movie. That's essentially what it is, so. It's worth a watch. I wouldn't buy a movie ticket for it. I would wait till it comes out on streaming. And, yeah, it's enjoyable for sure. I actually really love the, environment of the movie, all the settings, the shots. It's really, pretty spooky and beautiful. And, I was a big fan of that. I was a big fan of the vibe, if you will, the feel. Like that. So, Last Voyage of the Demeter, worth a watch for sure. Definitely not awful. Let's move on to the next one. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Now, this is one I had been told about by my buddies Kevin, and I believe Griffin told me about it too, but Kevin for sure told me about it. Kevin, oh boy. And loved it. This was a fun one. And it actually was funny. Like, it wasn't supposed to be that serious, even though there are semi-serious parts in it. Like, there's a lot of drama between the friend group. I'll give you the rundown. It's a bunch of rich, not all white kids, but just a bunch of rich kids, Gen Z kids. One of their parents has like a mansion in some place, not like some town down south, that's very isolated, and they all go to the mansion for a weekend getaway, but a hurricane's coming in the town. That's bad timing. Yeah. However, they stick it out and they decide to stay at the mansion during the hurricane, you know, lock it down, board the window. They don't board the windows, but you know what I mean. They're like, all right, we're just going to stay at the mansion, ride it out. Cause the hurricane isn't like hitting that area of land specifically, but you're definitely getting effects from the hurricane. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. I guess it does. Cause I guess if a hurricane came through, that would be a big part of the movie, but it's the effects of the hurricane. So heavy rains, winds, all that, just not hurricane level stuff in this part of town. Wow, that was a lot of talking. I apologize. However, Pete Davidson is the big draw in this movie. Pete Davidson is, he's a megastar. I think he shot up to megastar once he started going out with Kim Kardashian, because she's one of the most famous people fucking ever. Once he started going out with her, boom, you know, there you go. So he's the big draw in this movie. Again, a lot of fun, very well acted. I will say that. That you can feel the tension in some scenes. The kills are great. It goes off the rails at some points. Like, again, it's kind of almost a Descent into Madness movie. It's a little twist on a whodunit type of film. And I loved it. I had a good time watching it. I would definitely watch it again. It's not one of my, every Halloween I have to watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. If it's on, I'm definitely going to watch it. And if I, you know, scroll past it while I'm going through HBO Max or Netflix or Paramount, whatever it's on, you know, I might be convinced into turning it back on and watching it again. So, good time. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Loved it. Let's move on to the next one. It Lives Inside. It Lives Inside. This is a type of Indian horror film. Not Native American. Just to clarify, I'm not one of those. Indigenous Peoples Day just passed. I would say Native American if it was Native American, but it's actually Indian, as in people from India. So it goes into a lot of folklore and myths and tales from Indian culture. And one of those is this demon called, you know what? It's been a couple weeks since I've seen it. I'm going to be honest. I forgot what it's called. It's something that's like the Wabish or something like that. That's probably not even close, but I thought it was something with an SH, like the Shishak. Nope, not the Shishak. I'm going to look it up. Maybe I'll clarify in the next episode, but right now it's a demon and it's haunting this one girl's old friend. The one girl and her old friend haven't really talked much. They kind of drifted apart. But eventually that one girl checks in on the old friend, like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, you look tired. You look like you haven't slept in days. What's up with the mason jar that you're carrying around? And when the old friend explains it, new friend thinks she's crazy, doesn't believe her. Eventually the thing gets attached to her. And then that's when the movie really starts. There's some nice spooky scenes in it. There are some scenes that I thought could have done better. Obviously, that's any movie. Like, there are very few perfect movies. Shawshank, The Dark Knight, Freddy vs. Jason, yada, yada, yada. Biodome. The list goes on, but it's not super long. There are definitely things that could have gone better, that could have been portrayed better, I guess. But there were a lot of highs. There were high highs, and there were some lows. But I had a good time watching it. Ending was a little confusing. I had to Google the ending, like explain the ending to me. But once I did, I kind of got a better view. And it's a bit of a dark ending. Like, it's not necessarily a happy ending, despite how it appears to be at first. And then you got to wait till that last shot. And that last shot shows you that maybe it's not the happy ending that you thought it was, which I kind of like when they do that. The ending of Talk to Me, by the way, hits very fucking hard. It's awesome. But the ending of It Lives Inside is, it's not like a twist or anything like that. It's not like this big moment, which actually the ending of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is another kind of twist as well. The ending of It Lives Inside is just kind of sad, though. Like, it's this feeling of dread, like, oh, it's not okay. So definitely give it a shot. It's got some nice scenes. Like I said, high highs, but there are some lows in it as well. Some lulls, if you will. But it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. Definitely give it a watch. It's a very fall movie. There's a lot of rainy fall scenes. A lot of, you know, orange, yellow, red leaves blowing around. You know, scenes of the neighborhood with all the trees turning and the wind going. And yeah, a lot of rain as well. So in that sense, I love it as a nice spooky season movie. So once it starts streaming, I'll definitely give it another watch. So yeah, that's one that I'm definitely going to give another watch. Maybe I'll like it more on the second time. Maybe I'll like it less. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to give it another watch because it got me in the mood for fall. Just like the pretzels heating up in the oven right now are getting me in the mood for sex. Not that I want to fuck the pretzels, but like the thought of soft Bavarian pretzels heating up right now, waiting for me to take them out of the oven so I can devour them. God, really gets my fucking rocks off. Let me tell you that, baby. Let me tell you that. I didn't even mean to say baby right there. It just slipped out. Which my dick doesn't do because it's huge. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to move on to the next movie, The Nun 2, the second Nun. I rewatched the original Nun on, you know, because The Nun 2 was coming out and I knew I was going to go see it and I wanted to re-up, if you will. And so I did. And not bad. Not bad. I'm going to go with that. Not bad. The whole Conjuring universe, though, it's just getting a little repetitive. Like, it's still spooky, don't get me wrong. The original one, by the way, was a lot better than I remember. But this new one, there's obviously spooky scenes galore. Valak, aka the Nun, is a super creepy character. They do a great job with, you know, the effects and the makeup on her. Because I think the lady that actually plays her is kind of hot. They do a great job making her look all spooky. This one kind of goes, I think there's a little more devilish route to it, which, you know, it's a movie, The Nun, you know, you got priests and nuns and all the Catholic shit going on. So you're going to have a little devil theme to it if it's a horror movie. It's a decent time. Again, if it's on, I'm not turning it off. I'm going to watch it. I'll probably rewatch it at some point in the future. Like if Taylor Swift hits me up and she actually does want to go out and we do a Conjuring Universe marathon, we got to watch The Nun too. And I won't have a problem with that. So it's kind of like that. So that's my review of The Nun 2. It's, again, didn't hate it by any means, not bad. Car just drove by. I got the windows open. It's a nice fall day. Crisp, baby, crisp. Not bad at all. Just that whole Conjuring universe, like the scares are, to me, getting a little repetitive. It's like the MCU. Like the new season of Loki's out, and I started the first episode of the second season, and it's just kind of like, all right, like, we're just going to keep doing this forever? What are we doing, you know? And the CGI, like I said earlier, it's kind of getting out of hand as well. But that was The Nun 2, and I feel like I'm forgetting some. I've been watching, you know, some older, like I watched House of a Thousand Corpses because that's a good Halloween spooky season movie to me. Obviously the Halloween movies, the Nightmare on Elm Street, the Friday the 13th, and all the, you know, the documentaries about horror movies are, to me, great spooky season material. I remember I used to have one called The Boogeymen growing up. It was a DVD. I got it from FYE, and it was just kind of documentary style, not really even documentary, because I don't remember a lot of people talking throughout it. They would just go like slasher to slasher to slasher. They would give stats, quotes, and then they would show a scene, and it was a lot of fun. I think I ended up selling it, though, which was a bummer, because that'd be cool to still have. They played the white zombie version of Boogeyman. I'm your boogeyman. That's what I am. Yeah, I kind of got that Rob Zombie raspy voice right there. That turn you on? Probably not. I feel like I'm forgetting one. Let's see. Talk to Me, Last Voyage of the Demoner, Bodies, 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 The Nun 2, It Lives Inside. Still have to see The Exorcist. I still have to see the new Saw. I kind of want to rewatch The Saws. I still have to watch The Haunted Mansion on Disney Plus. Five Nights at Freddy's comes out later in October, so I'm going to have that for you. So that's a whole new slate of movies that I'm going to do rapid reviews on. And anything I forgot to mention in this one, I will also talk about as well, because I do feel like I'm forgetting something. So, but those are my big five that have lived in my head, especially Talk to Me. Really stuck with me. Really fucked me up for a while. Which is a good thing. That's what I want in a horror movie. I want it to leave that kind of feeling, that uneasy feeling. So, all right. I hope you enjoyed my rapid review. I hope you enjoyed this episode, the interview with Brucker. I thought it was great. And my whole Taylor Swift versus The Exorcist little skit. So, all right. I'm going to wrap this up mummy style. I'm done. Next episode coming out whenever it comes out. If I don't talk to you soon, stay sexy. And we'll be back with another one before you know it. Spooky season, baby. Spooktober. Let's go.